Hey, everybody, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man here. And if you want to get your money's worth, then stay right here, because you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. You know what? Remember one very important thing. Everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man. Yeah.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. I'm excited to be back. A lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of things have changed since our last episode with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, brother. A lot of stuff has been going on, so going to kind of make a few announcements heading into this new year. I'm excited because every time the new year comes, okay, we all do the same thing. We all say, I'm going to work out more. I'm going to eat better. I'm finally going to organize my closet. I'm going to do the things that I said I'm going to do all last year. I'm going to do them this year. And inevitably, we don't do them at all. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm some soothsayer and I know exactly what's going to happen in 2018. But I feel pretty confident that after, you know, I just turned 25 years old. Oh, man, that makes me feel so old. I just turned 25 years old. I don't even like how that sounds. I just turned 25 years old. Lord help me. And I still have a lot to accomplish. I don't think I've really even accomplished much at all, in my opinion. So I have a lot to accomplish. And I'm already feeling that it's off to a nice start. So last time we talked, I was teasing an announcement that I had. So let me go ahead and get that out of the way. I was named the new host of a show called the Schmodown Rundown. Now, already people are like, what the hell is that? Let me tell you what it is. So about 8-9 months ago, I started watching this show, maybe even a year ago. I would say a year ago, actually. I started watching this show on YouTube called Collider Movie Talk. And I've watched that prior to this movie trivia Schmodown, which I'm going to get to. So I was watching that show, and then I kept hearing the host talk about this movie trivia Schmodown. Now, I'm always a big fan of trivia. I like those shows. I like game shows. So I was like, you know what? I mean, I'm not super well-versed in movie trivia, but I know a few things I'd like to watch and kind of play along and just see how it's going. So I don't remember the first episode I watched, but I think I don't remember. I want to say it was like John Rocha was in it and versus Scott Mance, and these are characters on this game show. So but anyway, so I was watching it, and it started off with like these promos, you know, like stand-up promos in front of a, you know, banner, you know, talking about, you know, their opponents, and they're cutting like wrestling style promos. And I was like, oh man, this is pretty cool. So I go and I start watching more, and you know, they have these wrestling style entrances. They all have characters. I was like, okay, I like this. And then the game, though, was legitimate. I mean, they were trying to best each other. The outcome wasn't predetermined. And I was like, wow, this is pretty fun. So I kind of started watching. You know, I became a fan. I started watching a few of the episodes. And then I was like, man, you know, with the wrestling connection, this is like a no-brainer for something Booker T should be involved with. Obviously, Booker and I do a lot of business together, so I kind of pitched the idea to the guy who runs the movie trivia Schmodown. His name's Christian Harloff. I pitched the idea to him. I said, hey, man, would you like to have Booker T a part of the Schmodown? And he's like, yeah. I mean, that'd be great if Booker wants in, he's in. This guy's a former WWE writer, but at the time, he didn't know who I was. You know, I kind of reached to him out of the blue. So he said, yeah, Booker T wants in, he's in. So I was like, you know what, I'm probably going to have to prove to this guy that, you know, I can deliver on my promises, I can get Booker involved, and, you know, we can really make something happen here. So I talked to Booker, and we shot a video. It was right after the guy that I referenced earlier, John Rocha. John Rocha's been on the show. How did I forget that? John Rocha's been on this podcast before. And John Rocha was the champ, and Booker did a little video congratulating him on winning. And I remember Twitter blew up. They're like, oh, wow, Booker T watches the Schmodown, or he's involved with the Schmodown. So anyway, months go by, and the Schmodown Rundown is a show on the Schmoes Know Network, and it's on Podcast One. And I would listen to a few of the episodes, and I enjoyed it. It was kind of an after show, an analysis of the competition for the Movie Trivia Schmodown. So I reached out to the guys from the Schmodown Rundown. I said, hey, I would love to be a guest on the show whenever you'd have me. You know, if you ever have an opening for a guest, I would love to be that guy. So I got a message back like almost instantaneously, and they said, yeah, we would love to have you on. I think that'd be a cool thing. Am I too low? Let me turn my level up there. Is that better? I think that's better. We would love to have you on. So I said, okay, awesome. So I did a guest spot, and I heard from Christian, and Christian was like, man, you were great. I would love to have you on that show more often. I said, I'd love to be on the show more often. So I did another guest spot maybe 2 or 3 weeks later. And then after that one, I got a call from Christian, and he said, hey, you know, the host, Aaron Turner, is leaving. I want you to host the show if you'd be down. I was like, man, that's a great opportunity. So we kind of talked over, you know, what all it entailed in terms and all that. And I signed on. And I've been the host of the Movie Trivia Schmodown after show, the Schmodown Rundown, now for 3 or 4 episodes at least. And it's coming up this weekend, or this Friday, December 22nd, is the biggest event of the year for the Movie Trivia Schmodown. It's the Schmodown Spectacular, the second one of its kind. It's going to have all championships on the line. That's the singles, the tag, the inner geekdom, the Star Wars. It's going to have a manager bowl. There's going to be a stipulation match with John Rocha's team. If they lose, they must disband. I mean, so if you like WWE, you like movies, and you like trivia, kind of, you like game shows, it's really kind of a perfect combination of the three. And I suggest everyone goes out there and at least checks out one episode. And if you watch one, I guarantee that you'll kind of fall in love with the concept and the characters. And you know, then check out the Schmodown Rundown every Saturday on SK Plus and Schmoes Know, iTunes, Podcast One, all those great places. You can check me out. Your man, Brad Gilmore. But that's not the only other announcement I have. And this one is more unexpected since the last time I talked to you. That was the announcement that I teased. I said, I'm going to have an announcement about maybe something, and it's going to be official here soon. That was the Schmoes Know Show, the Movie Trivia Schmodown, the Schmodown Rundown. The other thing, though, that was kind of, it just all came together and happened was, you know, for longtime listeners of this show, or if you know me rather well, you know that I got my start in all entertainment as a part of a group called 2011. 2011 was like a hip-hop pop band here in Houston, Texas, and we made a lot of great music, and we kind of went AWOL in 2013, 2014, and we haven't put out anything since up until last week. Last week, 2011 released our new song, Fallen Back, our first song in 3 years, believe it or not. The first song in 3 years that we've come out with, and I'm happy with it. It's a really cool song. You know, it's different for us. We were known for real big pop records. You know, the instrumental to this show open is a song we did called Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek's actually pretty player. I'm not gonna lie to you all. Hide and Seek is pretty dope. You know what? Hold on. The benefit of having your phone in your hand while you're supposed to be recording a podcast. Check this out. Hold on. This is Hide and Seek by 2011. Now that's a little preview. Hold on. Let me get to the good part. Hold on. Let me get to the good part. Hold on. Check this out. There's your man, Brad Gilmore. I hope this doesn't sound horrendous over this microphone. But check this out. Stop it. That was an old record we did. And that was kind of our style. For, by the way, hold on. Because I don't do this enough. This show, even though it's called the Brad Gilmore Show, is always about my guests. Seeing as though I have no guests this time, allow me to just... I was proud of that one. Listen to this. Now, this might sound stupid to some people out there, but think about... The song's called Hide and Seek, right? The chorus goes, let's play a little game. Close your eyes and call my name. I turn around and count to 10. Baby, I know you'll let me win. Ain't nobody gotta know. Just take off your clothes. I promise I won't take a peek. Let's play a game of hide and seek, which is pretty fly. And I'm going to be honest with you. Trey Yancey and myself are like, this sounds so crazy. Trey Yancey and myself, as far as pop hip-hop records go, especially in the city state of Houston, Texas, we are like Lennon and McCartney when it comes to these hooks, man. I will challenge anybody from the entire city of Houston. That includes Beyonce when she doesn't have people writing for her, and I love Beyonce. To write better hooks than Trey Yancey and I wrote in our heyday, and will continue to write, by the way. Anyway, that was the hook. Then I said, peekaboo, peekaboo, girl, you know I'm feeling you. Soon as you walked in the room, you knew I got a peek at you. Now I call you Pikachu, because you about to get chose. Pikachu, I choose you. Pick you up and take you home. This is all a player knows. Those are some dope bars. I don't care who you are. Those are some dope bars. Check out 20 Summers on Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. It's a great album. But anyway, so we hadn't released anything new, and those are the kind of records that we did. So we released this new song, Fallen Back. It's more serious. It's more grown up. You know what? Why don't I just play it? Y'all want to hear it? That's a rhetorical question. Of course you want to hear it. Check out this new record by 2011, and we'll be back with more Brad Gilmore Show. Oh, do
see, this is the music I get mad to. Time when I was glad to grab you in public, kisses and hug shit. You know the type of situation when your friends were hating on our public relations and that they don't like PDA, them jealous bitches. The ones that pray at night that they could get this. You know the wish list, but we were natural, just like your head fresh out the pool. I drop you off at home, pick you up for school. On our way back, I play you my song and watch you smile. I say you like my style, hunch, you say what chill. But there was no denying, you thought my talent was real. You got the feels and later on night, you gave me chills when you did that thing with your tongue, and I'll admit that. Told other girls to get back. You told me, boy, just sit back. And with no hands, you did that. Like shit, that was the moment I kinda felt like we were more than platonic, which was ironic because I said we'd be no strings attached. But you were the type of girl to get a box with a ring attached and the boy some men's song. Nah, I'm just joking. But the shit we had in the air was repulent, so I was hoping maybe we could have no ending. But you were the shy girl and your groups of friends, and they got up in your hand, you know how that goes. The messy hoes said we should slow down so they can build themselves up while we go down them black commas. So I just sat back like a recline and we fell off a bit, but still I hit it if I had the chance. But I'm not your man. Falling back, falling in and falling out. All the love rained down, now I'm all up in the drought. So I'm sitting and I'm thinking, I'm like, what's that all about? How could something that was certainly my head full of doubt? So I take a second, clear my mind and start reflecting. You and I together were the furthest thing from perfection. Learn my lesson from transgression, all was broken, I accept it. Time to be a man and I settle down with all the stress.
You ain't no family to me.
Think about all the damage to me.
Cut so deep, ain't no bandage in me.
I can't fall back, now I'm firm on my feet.
Feel
like me, I've traveled up and down that road. I know it's getting old. Maybe we'll
a stop to let each other go. But I don't even know, we keep falling, falling back, falling back, falling back. We keep falling back, falling back, falling back, falling back. We keep falling.
Song, I hope you like it. If you hate it, that's okay too. I'm just glad you listened. I do want to say though that the Free Press Houston, they did say, as I pull up the article, they said something very complimentary. This is what they said. They said 2011 was always good, undoubtedly one of Houston's strongest acts. That's pretty high praise. One of Houston's strongest acts. Houston's a big city, millions of people in the city. To say from one of the major outlets for music here in the city, major press outlets for that matter, aside from the Houston Chronicle, for them to say we're one of the strongest acts in Houston, that's high praise and I appreciate it. So new 2011 music on the horizon. I think probably something maybe in the top of next year, first quarter perhaps. We got some good stuff though. I mean, we're working on a lot of cool stuff and I'm really excited to share it with you all. It's fun to tap into that side of myself again. You know, it's something that's kind of been dormant for a little while that I haven't really gotten to. I haven't gotten to rap in a while or write raps and be faced with that challenge. And I think some people, and you know, I think now it's a lot better. Rap is more, or hip hop is more accepted by everybody as a true form of music and artistic expression. But even as recently as I would say 2009, 2010, 11, like even as recent as that, I still don't think hip hop got the credit that it deserved for being the truly expressive art form that it is. Because, you know, you get those guys like right now, the big thing is mumble rap. And if you listen to mumble rap, these guys aren't, I don't want to say they're not skilled, because some of them have high skill. They just kind of, you know, because they have a skill of being able to put together something catchy that people can vibe out to. But, you know, as far as lyricism goes, they're not, and I think they admit it themselves, the people who fall into that category of mumble rap, they're not the strongest of songwriter. So I think a lot of the times the songwriter has been, the songwriting ability it takes to make a great hip-hop song or make a great song, period, but a hip-hop song more in particular, has been overlooked. And I think now, though, 2017 going into 2018, with albums like Damn by Kendrick Lamar or 444 by Jay-Z, you kind of see how important the genre is. And I think if you look at the streaming charts, I think hip-hop owns them. So I think it's nice to be able to challenge myself again and to put myself in those shoes and try to figure out the puzzle box of a verse and to take you on a journey and a story in a verse. And I went to the Rockets game this week with my homie Trey from 2011, and we were just talking about, you know, rapping and the extreme skill that it takes, and it's really not easy. It's not easy to make a good rap verse. You know, it's really not. So look forward to that new 2011 music. I'm excited about it. I really am. Speaking of, we were like preparing to, you know, release this song and all this. And, you know, during the process, we were like kind of seeing what all was out there currently about us. So I was on YouTube and I came across a video that I'd never seen before that came up and related to 2011. I was like, oh, okay, let me see what this is. And I recognized the guys in it, you know, two guys that I know, you know, from, you know, back in the day when I was first starting out in hip hop, you know, and it was weird because they were like watching our music video for When She Home, which has many beautiful women in it. One, the most beautiful, in my opinion, my current girlfriend, Farrah, who's been on the show, love her. Who, by the way, Farrah is killing it on Reality of Wrestling right now. Farrah is now one of our backstage interviewers for Reality Wrestling, and she's doing a hell of a job, and I'm so proud of her. She's so great. I wouldn't be surprised if she gets signed before I do to WWE. 100%. She's so good. She's natural. Love her to death. Anyway, you know, so they're watching our music video When She Home, and then they start clowning on us. And, you know, saying to quote NWA, there's a lot of what flakers and perpetrators out there, whatever the hell, you know what I'm talking about from Straight Outta Compton album. And then they start, you know, just rapping to one another. And, you know, I thought this was strange because I've known these guys for a long time. I've worked with one of them before. I was on one of their albums as a featured guest. And it was just funny to hear somebody talk about that. And this is why, because people say negative things about me or the band or whatever. Like, that's just the culture we live in. There are commenters, there are tweeters, there are eggs on social media who just hide behind a keyboard. And rarely, though, does someone do like a video like that. But that's not even what caught me off guard. Not even the fact that I knew these guys caught me off guard. What caught me off guard is I've seen at least one of these guys since they put this video out, which was like, you know, almost four years ago now. I hadn't seen it up until recently, but this was put out like 4 years ago, so it's not a new thing. But I'd seen these guys, at least one of them, recently, especially rather soon after that video was published, because I remember it being around the holidays. And when I saw them, it was all smiles and dapping me up and saying, "Hey, man, you know, keep going, keep grinding, keep hustling." You know, the same old small talk that's done in hip hop circles. So I saw these guys, and so I started thinking, I'm like, man. You know, you always hear about, like, fake people in, you know, whatever industry you're in. But you don't really realize, you know, there are the smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place, you know, the backstabbers song. It's a real thing. And to me, it's okay to not like our music. That's really more than fine with me. I swear there are songs that we've made that I don't like. But it's another to, you know, do it on a public forum, and then when you see me, act like it's all good. And I remember shooting this link to the bandmates, and one of my bandmates was like, man, I just saw that guy like a year ago. He was asking me to, like, do some music with him. And so I was like, what a weird thing. And I just want people, if you don't like me, if you like the music, that's fine. But when I see you, just keep that same energy. And I'm not saying be aggressive. I'm not even trying to be hostile. I'm just saying keep that same energy. And just don't show me love that's fake love. That's what Monday look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing straight love to me, straight up to my face. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I'm sorry about my bad Drake karaoke, but that's exactly what it was. And it's just kind of weird to me. You know, I guess it's happened more than once, but I've just never, you know, seen video evidence of somebody hating, and then when you see them in person, they're all smiles and love and want to work together and, like, you know, respect my brother and all that stuff. So it's just weird. It's weird. I got nothing but love for both those guys, and I hope they're doing well. I hope they're succeeding in life way more than I am, and I mean that with all sincerity, but just keep that same energy. If you don't like me, just don't dap me up. And don't say hello and don't comment on my stuff on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram, you know, giving me props when it's not real. You know, I just don't appreciate that. And to even say, like, there are a lot of flakers and perpetrators and saying that our music garbage, you know, almost insinuating, like, that we're not real hip hop. That's always the stuff that pisses me off. Because, one, what is real hip hop? It's a question that everyone always asks. But the other thing is this. The other thing is, they're the real hip-hop thing. I am hip-hop. Trey is hip hop. Dallas is hip hop. Avery is hip hop. Motai is hip hop. And to question that is beyond ridiculous. And if you want to go for my credits, you know, my credits, I mean, all the OGs have given me, you know, as they said in Las Vegas, you know, I've shook Sinatra's hand. All the OGs in the city, be from Slim, Paul, Bun, Cam, Mike, all those guys show me nothing but love. And I think if there's any question if my hip-hop card is still validated, even though I've taken a sabbatical from rhyming, I drove around this beautiful city of Houston, Texas, with one half of what's the greatest rap group of all time, at least in the top three, when it comes to UGK, when it comes to Outkast, and then when it comes to the guys who started it all, the ones and the onlys, the Run DMC. I went around this great city of ours, drove around in what was my former vehicle, Clifford the Big Red Truck. Now I'm in Elvis, King of the Road. But I drove around this great city with DMC himself, the man himself. Drove around with DMC, and we rapped to one another. Not only did we rap to one another, we rapped like the fourth verse of Rapper's Delight to one another. So if you ever question my hip-hop card ever again, we got a problem, and you can talk to my man DMC about that. Well, anyway, off that, just keep the same energy. I didn't mean to get on a tangent. That was a tangent. I didn't mean to do that. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about something that is pretty cool. I finally today saw the new Star Wars movie. That's right. I saw the new Star Wars movie, and I'm going to say, so I talked to friend of the show, Kyle Hubbard, prior to, and he said, you know, that this was a phenomenal movie, and he was excited about it. He was amped about it. And anywhom, he kind of, you know, he got me interested. And I was already interested. I mean, I'm not the largest Star Wars fan in the world, but by no means am I a hater or not lover of Star Wars, if that makes any sense. I love the films. You know, I'm a film fan. So I've always loved the Star Wars movies. I'm not like, it's not like it's Back to the Future for me, right? But I like them. So I was a big fan of Force Awakens, and you know, I liked Rogue One, so I was looking forward to this movie. And Kyle said it was great. Then I talked to somebody else who said, I don't know, really, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all, to be honest. And I was like, okay, wow. You know, Force Awakens, everybody kind of universally was like, wow. And I think because, you know, it'd been so long since a saga film for Star Wars, you know, since 05 or what have you, so at the time, it was like 10 years or something like that since the last official, like real live action Star Wars movie was in theaters. So I think people were, you know, there was a lot of, you know, Jerry Seinfeld says when he goes on stage, he gets about 5 minutes of people like, holy crap, it's Jerry Seinfeld. Everything he says is funny, right? And it's just kind of a courtesy. And I think Force Awakens has some issues with it, but overall, we all gave it a courtesy because it was a new Star Wars movie, so we all just loved it, and we were excited about it. The sequel now, Last Jedi, we're a little bit more critical of, right? So right here, I'm going to, fair warning, there's going to be, you know what, I was going to do spoilers, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to give you my non-spoiler review of the movie. Here it is. I think Last Jedi was a very good movie. I think that if it were in any other franchise aside from Star Wars, it would be regarded as a fantastic movie. I think with Star Wars comes a lot of fans, a lot of fanboys, a lot of baggage, a lot of expectations. And it's like with anything, not to use another Seinfeld analogy or what have you, but you know, that final episode of Seinfeld, is everyone says it sucks. And everyone says that it sucks because everybody had their own vision for what Seinfeld's last episode was going to be. And the show that was in your head would never live up to whatever they put on the page and then on the screen, right? I think it's the same with this Last Jedi. There were so many open-ended questions left to us at the end of Force Awakens that we had built up all of this stuff that we wanted to see answered in the sequel, and some of the payoffs or some of the answers might not have been what we thought they were going to be, so therefore we're disappointed by that. I think, though, like questions like Rey's parents or who is Snoke, right? These aren't spoilers, but those are questions that everyone had after Force Awakens. And those questions may or may not be answered in Last Jedi. And people, if they were answered, some people might be disappointed because it wasn't what they expected it to be, right? So I thought Last Jedi was ballsy in some ways. I thought there was some fan service in there, but good fan service, not fan service for the hell of it. I thought that Daisy Ridley is becoming, and her character Rey might be my favorite character in all of Star Wars history. And, you know, that, you know, there's a lot. Yeah, I used to be a Mace Windu guy, right? I was a Yoda guy, obviously a Luke guy, a Han Solo guy. Daisy Ridley's Rey is so badass, it's not even funny. She is 10 times doper than she was in the first movie, in Force Awakens. So if you like Daisy Ridley and you like the character Rey, you're in for a hell of a treat. The way they used Luke Skywalker, I could see some people having a problem with. I liked it. You know, it was a little bit sad every time I saw Carrie Fisher, General Leia on screen, but she did way better in Last Jedi than she did in Force Awakens. Force Awakens, you could tell in some of those scenes she was still knocking the cobwebs off. In Last Jedi, she's cool as all can be. And I hate that she wasn't able to finish this franchise. And this, you know, there's never a good way to go out, especially when you die at a younger age like she was. But this was a good send-off. If, you know, and I'm not saying they write her character off, I'm just saying, and they might, but I'm saying this being her last movie that she acted in, this was a good way to go out with a high bar performance. I thought she was great in the movie. As far as, you know, Finn or Poe or, you know, Kylo Ren, all of them were used well. I think Poe I'm not sold on. They're trying to push Poe as like the new Han Solo, and it's just, Oscar Isaacs just isn't Harrison Ford. I'm sorry, he's just not. And that might be a little bit of the, you know, nostalgia talking of how cool Han Solo was, like growing up as a kid. But, you know, Poe Dameron, or I think I got his name wrong. Poe is cool. He's not Han Solo cool. So there was some Laura Dern's character I wasn't really feeling in the movie. But overall, the movie's great. I urge everyone to go see it. It's not like the second highest opening weekend domestic box office for no reason. I mean, it's a good movie. It's a very good movie. And I think having said that, I put this out on Twitter, but I might as well reveal my list to you all. I'm going to tell you my Star Wars rankings from 1 to 10. And yes, I'm including the Clone Wars movie because, as I've been told countless times, it was released in theaters, so it counts. This is what I got, all right? Disagree with me if you want to. Here's what I have. I have at number, I'll go from 10 to 1. How about that? Number 10, I have Clone Wars, just because it's an animated movie and I really, you know, don't care for it. It's not like, to me, it doesn't feel like a real Star Wars movie. All right, so let me go with the 9 live action theatrically released Star Wars movies. Number 9, I got Attack of the Clones. Attack of the Clones used to be higher on my list, but then I literally watched it last night, and it's not good. It's not good. Hayden Christensen, Natalie Portman, not good, man. It's not good. So there'd be no surprise to anybody that number 8, I have The Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace was special for me because it was the first Star Wars movie I saw in theaters, but it doesn't hold up for me. Number 7... And this is a weird, because I like this movie a lot. A lot of great characters in here. It's number 7 for me, but it could be higher on any given day. That's Rogue One. I liked Rogue One. You know, it wasn't in the Skywalker saga, so I guess that's kind of why it's lower on my list. But it was a great movie. There's just the other movies I like more. And some people might be surprised by this, but I like Revenge of the Sith. It's, you know, the prequels have a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, and I understand why. But Revenge of the Sith is dope. I mean, seeing the origin story of Vader was a great idea in theory, but seeing the payoff, to me, I won't say it was worth the other two movies, but I like Revenge of the Sith. So that's my number six. Number seven is this movie, The Last Jedi. Number five is The Last Jedi. I'm sorry. Number five is The Last Jedi because there's a lot of great things about this movie. And honestly, it could be number four. Number four, number five for me are interchangeable, but I really like The Last Jedi. I really liked it. And that really, there's a testament to how great these Star Wars movies end, that like everywhere from like seven to one, I really like a lot. So number four is Return of the Jedi. I think for obvious reasons, you know, we get a lot of really cool stuff in Return of the Jedi. But like I said, Last Jedi and Return of the Jedi, they're interchangeable for me. Number three is Force Awakens. Force Awakens for me, even though it had a lot of the similar beats to A New Hope, I really enjoyed seeing those characters reunite, seeing Han Solo again, seeing Princess Leia again, seeing Luke at the very end. It's the last movie that all three of them are in. It was just, there were so many great moments and payoffs to it, and it was just a fun film. J.J. Abrams, I'm so glad he's directing Episode 9 because he did, I thought he did a phenomenal job on Force Awakens. Number two, Empire Strikes Back. It really could be my number one, but I have a hard time putting anything above A New Hope just because it started it all. Star Wars A New Hope is my number one. So those are my Star Wars rankings, ladies and gentlemen. I urge everyone to see Last Jedi. And I think me, Jedi Master, Kyle Hubbard, and Brandock might be doing a spoiler review of the movie. So I'm going to keep you attuned to that. My brothers and sisters. Speaking of sisters, this is my last thing for the day, and then I'm out of here. It's just announced, Monday Night Raw, big announcement. We're going to have the first ever Women's Royal Rumble match this year, or I guess technically next year at the Royal Rumble in January. This is great on so many levels. I love the women's division right now. It's better now than it maybe ever has been, and that's even going back to the days of Trish and Lita. I think that, you know, the work the women are doing now is beyond. It's really beyond. And a lot of times the women's matches are better than every man's match on the show. And to think about the last couple of years, you know, to see the Divas Championship go to the Women's Championship at WrestleMania 32, where I was in attendance for 101,673 people. And then to see women's first Hell in a Cell match, which was crazy. And it's a crazy good match. Then to see the first ever women's Money in the Bank match, another great one. And then to see Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks wrestle in Abu Dhabi, first women's championship match in all of the Middle East. Like, the women are kicking ass, man. They really are. And I think this is deserving, you know? And I know some people are going to be like, oh, they're just giving it to them because it's a politically correct thing to do. Screw all that, man. The women are awesome. Think about that roster right now. You have Sasha. You have Charlotte. You have Alexa. You have Bayley. You have Paige back on the roster. You got Mandy Rose, who's a superstar in the making. You have the Bellas still, you know, a part of the company. I don't know if they're ever going to wrestle again. I hope Nikki does because she's my favorite of all time. Then you got, Becky Lynch. You have all the women over there on SmackDown who are doing great. You know, like the Liv Tylers, the new crop of girls over there. The Natalias, the Lanas, the Nia Jaxes, Tamina. You know, there's so many great women right now that it just makes too much sense to have a Royal Rumble match. And then you got like veterans like Mickie James, right? So I love this idea. I love everything about it. I'm hoping for a Nikki Bella return in the Royal Rumble match. That's high hopes for me, I know, but I'm hoping that it happens. And this is the best time for it. And I'm going to tell you who's going to win. I already know who's going to win the Royal Rumble match. The winner of the first ever Women's Royal Rumble match in 2018 is going to be Asuka. It's going to be Asuka. And I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say Japanese wrestlers are going to win the night? Because I think Nakamura might win the Royal Rumble. I think it's conceivable. So we might see, you know, Asuka and Alexa Bliss for the championship on Raw, and then see AJ Styles, Nakamura for the championship on SmackDown. I think it's possible. You know, they're not going to, you know, they're going to have one show each win a Royal Rumble. So a Raw woman or Raw man is going to win, and then, you know, the other way. They're not going to have two Raw women, or I mean two Raw superstars and two SmackDown superstars. It's not going to happen. So right now, early predictions, Asuka and Nakamura. Now that could change next year when Royal Rumble rolls around, but I'm pretty certain. But I got to say, I don't know where the Rumble is this year. I'm sure I could look it up. Or the, in 2018, I don't know where it is. But I would love to go to the Royal Rumble because I went this year, the one in San Antonio, and I had such a great time. And, you know, you had Brock and Goldberg and Undertaker all in that Royal Rumble. Let's see, Royal Rumble 18, where is it going to be? It's going to be in Philly. That might be a stretch. Oh, I'm actually going to be out of town that day anyway. A little crapola. Well, anyway, we'll see how that all plays out, guys. And I'm going to tell you this also. Starting in January, every Monday, we're going back to the old format. Every Monday morning, you're going to have a new Brad Gilmore show. I'm going to keep it to around 30 minutes. And, you know, good talk movies, music, all kinds of stuff. Because I still got to get with somebody, and we got to review this Eminem album. Because it needs to be talked about. And I got a serious statement about it. So tune in. I'll probably be back next week. Maybe next year. You never know. This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. And I'll see you later.